Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brant. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We're off and running on this new week. It's Monday, June 22nd, 2014. Wait a minute. Today's June 23rd. I missed a day. All right. Okay. June 23rd. Buckmaster Show is live each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make the program very easy for you to hear anywhere in the world, really, by going to buckmastershow.com. We have all of our shows since we started in January 2011. All of them are archived for you on our website. We'll get things rolling down the track with the Buckmaster Political Face-Off, the Monday Face-Off, followed by a conversation with the mayor of Mesa and gubernatorial candidate, Republican gubernatorial candidate, Scott Smith, who is also the head of the United States Conference on Council of Mayors. Then we'll wrap up the show. Ted Vogt is with us. Ted is the head of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services. And yes, a lot of people are confusing the scandal on the national level with the Arizona Department of Veterans Services, and there is really no correlation. We'll talk to Ted about really the good things he is doing with the Arizona Department of Veterans Services. Buckmaster Show Live, line 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and of course each Monday we get things going with the Monday Political Face-Off. Joining me on the Face-Off, Bruce Ash. Bruce is in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Paul Eckerstrom, longtime Democrat Party activist, former state and local Democrat Party chair. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. And I went over and picked up some things Mo had done for me. And, of course, it's always, Bruce and Paul, it's just like museum quality. I'm telling you, this is a great resource.
Yep, I've been there. I've seen his work. We have some of his work hanging in our house.
I mean, he's so meticulous about his work.
Yeah, and I've actually had him help out with something, too.
So
he's great.
Mo, we love you and thank you for your support of the Monday Political Face-Off. Paul and Bruce, how are you gentlemen today?
Warm.
Yeah, I second that.
and the soccer thing, I mean, people say watching soccer is like, some people say, is like watching paint dry, but yeah, there's a big following right now.
Yeah, I used to think that, and then my kids got into soccer, and then you watch if you watch the intricacies of the game leading up to possible goals, if you're into scoring, it isn't your game. But if you watch the other parts of the game intricately, like I did when my kids were playing it, you get interested in it. I never was a soccer fan until then.
And I played it in high school and did fairly well, and I'm still not all that sold on it. I mean, it's fun to play, but
I'm sure the United States team is hurting from that first goal that was scored against them, as well as the last goal. The first goal was really a gimme. We gave the ball to the guy, and he put it right in the goal.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm sure, and I know exactly where they were celebrating, having come from Lisbon less than a month ago. I know that the Portuguese fans were probably up all night on Liberation Square in Lisbon, and it's a good thing we weren't at the hotel we were staying at, because we would not be getting any sleep. Yeah. They would be partying the whole night. I mean, that was amazing.
The United States is still alive. They have a game, I guess, in less than a week. And we'll see what happens. Well, nobody thought they were going to get this far anyway.
Mathematically, it's pretty impossible to see us not advancing
to the final group of 16.
But
I think it is.
That last play by the Portugal was a thing of beauty with 30 seconds left to tie it. That was an amazing play.
Guys, I want to talk a little bit about abolishing the state income tax. Three of the 7 Republican candidates for governor have signaled that that would be the way they would like to go. Secretary of State Ken Bennett said he would like to replace the lost revenue by expanding the transactions now subject to the state's 5.6% sales tax, or coming up with some sort of a broad-based consumption tax on every transaction. Senator Al Melvin, he also is for doing away with the income tax. Senator Melvin is scheduled to be with us, by the way, on Wednesday. There's some questions whether or not he will be staying in the race. He's kind of set a deadline this week on whether or not he drops out. And then Doug Ducey, the front runner, is saying that he would like to also get rid of the sales income, state income tax, but this would be at a slower fashion. Paul, is that doable?
I think it's a huge mistake. One, an income tax is what they call progressive tax. So it's a fairer tax than a sales tax or a consumption tax, which hits poor people harder than it does people higher on the income scale. And that's why we have a progressive income tax. The other thing that people should realize is one of the reasons we have such a difficult time right now in our state budget and why we've scaled way back on our funding of public schools is back in – we've heard this before. Fife Symington, when he was governor, wanted to do away with the income tax. And he did a pretty good job. We only have one-third the state income tax we had in 1991. And you can directly correlate that to the cuts to the universities and to K through 12.
You're saying that's where the cuts really started.
Yeah, and really, I think we really need to recoup that. And the other thing you have to understand is, you know, you have sales tax. You have income tax. We used to have a property tax at the state level. That's gone. What we would be totally dependent on is a consumption or sales tax if we do away with the income tax. In a bad economy, when we have go through cycles of bad economies, then our revenue will fall drastically, and it's much more peaks and valleys in terms of the income revenue coming in for the state, while the income tax is much more stable in that regard, and we can muddle through a bad recession with our budget. And so I think it would be foolhardy to do away with the state income tax. All this is a gimmick to get elected.
Okay. You say it's devastating. Bruce Ash?
Well, thank you, Paul. You've really just made the case why Arizonans should not vote for Fred Duval for Arizona governor or for any Democrat for that matter, because you are tax and spend oriented. Now, do I think that eliminating the state income tax and corporate taxes are necessarily the answer? Probably not. And there probably is some sort of a midpoint where taxes on individuals as well as corporations can be diminished in order to maximize to bring more revenue into the state treasury, because it'll attract more businesses here. The answer is to spend less and to get the state government out of a lot of the things that they're currently involved in. Nearly one quarter of everything the state does has to do with regulation. And I don't think anybody wants more regulation and another state guy looking over their shoulder.
Regulation is a different issue altogether than budget matters and revenues.
No, it all costs money,
but,
Paul.
You know, the plain fact of the matter is it is a gimmick to say, because it's going to be made up somewhere else. We're going to have the revenues coming from somewhere else. So they're just saying, well, we'll get rid of the state income tax. But
that sounds appeals great. I'm sure a lot of people would love to have state income
tax. Yeah, but reality is they're just going to make it up by paying through a sales tax. And
also,
the sales tax is not a regressive tax. It's going to hurt people who are in lower income brackets or the middle class much more than people in the upper income brackets. And it doesn't make sense. And on top of that, it really is. If you're totally dependent on sales tax, when we hit a recession, revenues will drop drastically because people just stop buying things. And on an income tax, if you have an income tax, then you don't have near those valleys during, in terms of revenues coming in during a recession.
What Paul failed fails to acknowledge is states like Texas and Florida, who have eliminated the state income tax, and Nevada also, have been booming for years, even in the middle of recessions. There's more businesses that come to states without an income tax. There's more revenue that's generated because there's more people here, and more people spending money is creating a lot more revenue for the state governments. So Paul's argument really falls on both of his points. And I would say, as far as education goes, Paul, we've discussed it a lot. Yeah, education does need more money to make it more successful, but it's got to be spent the right way. And I would ask you the question, what's enough? Okay, because if left to you and Fred Duval, we'd be spending money and spending money and spending money, and nobody would be accountable for it.
No, that's not true. Answer that question directly, I just want to get back to the revenue streams we had for public schools back in the 80s, where we were 26th in funding, right in the middle of all the other states, 26th in the country in funding of our schools. And to answer your question about Nevada and Texas, well, they have other revenue sources besides sales taxes. Texas funds their state government through oil.
And Nevada
with the gaming industry. Those are two separate taxes that are separate and apart that we don't have the ability to do.
Sure we do.
No, we don't. We don't have gaming like Nevada does, and we don't have oil like Texas does. I mean, that's just a plain simple fact.
We have mining here. We have all kinds of different
sources. So you want to tax the mining industry.
Well, I think that may be something to consider. This is one of the richest areas in the entire world. And that may be a possibility.
You know, Bruce, I would consider that with you, too.
All right.
I think that's a good idea.
Bruce and Paul agreeing on something. Well, this is a good point to take a break. When we come back, Bruce Ash has some feelings about Hillary Clinton. I think he's going to tell us that he does not believe Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee for president as we continue on the Monday Political Face-Off.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:21 on this Monday afternoon. We were beginning our Monday political face-off with the topic of perhaps abolishing the state income tax was our topic. This portion of the face-off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowland Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash with us on the Monday political face-off. Three of the seven Republican candidates for governor have indicated that they would be open to abolishing the state income tax. The candidate who we will be interviewing at the bottom of the hour, at Scott Smith, the mayor of Mesa, I do not believe he is in favor of that. We'll ask him about that. But Bruce, before we move on to another topic, you wanted to make a quick comment.
Yeah, two things real quick. Number one is, before we were to do an extraction tax such as happens in Texas and in some of the oil states around the country, two things. Number one is, there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that are in state trust land assets that have not been sold. We've had a very lackluster performance for well over three decades in selling state trust land. This would be a tremendous boon to education where that money belongs. And secondly, and this is a major issue, and it's a source of conversation in the CD1 election, and that is, Arizona only controls about 14%, give or take, of all land here in this state. The ability to get our hands on some of these other assets in order to sell them would create enormous assets for our states and take the load off of taxpayers. That would be a good idea for candidates to consider.
A real quick comment about that. Yeah, if we sold our state trust lands, we can get some revenue that way, but that's a one-time deal.
It's one time. We have hundreds of thousands of acres that are literally sitting fallow. Some of them in major metropolitan areas.
I don't disagree with you, but if we can rent out the land or lease it for some other purpose, great. But once it's sold, it's gone. It's a one time deal.
Even better, because you create a constant source of revenue flow.
Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom with us on the Monday political face-off. Hillary Clinton, will she be the Democratic nominee, Bruce Ash?
I don't think so.
Why is that? Why are you saying that?
Well, there are some questions with respect to her health. We'll probably
find.
Yeah,
I saw that on the Drudge Report today.
We'll probably find out more as time goes on.
Heart issues,
right.
Perhaps.
Her performance on this book tour has been not resembling somebody who spent 8 years in the White House, 4 or 5 years as a U.S. senator, and then as Secretary of State for 4 years. Very clumsy, very awkward, obvious mistakes, stumbles and falls. The book that was written, really not written by her, has already fallen out of the Amazon top 30 list. I saw it in a store yesterday. I saw it in a Ralph's in California selling for 50% off list. It's only been out for 10 days. The Democratic Party is dominated more and more by the left. This is not a centrist party. Mm. And I don't think that she is nearly as far left as many others who are looking at this, whether it's Malloy or whether it's Elizabeth Warren. These are legitimate forces within the Democratic Party. And I think she's going to have a tough time.
Mm. Paul, if she runs, she wins, in your opinion?
Yep. Absolutely. The only reason she wouldn't run it, in my book, is if she does have health issues. And I know the rumor mill is out there trying to say she does. And she is elder. She'll be 68 when she's, if she got sworn in as president, if she won. And that's up there, but it's not in these days, not that old. And Ronald Reagan, that's how old he was when he became president. So look at Hillary Clinton runs. She wins the primaries easy. It's not even close. And I believe she wins the presidency fairly easily, because ultimately there is three constituencies that underperform in general elections, and that's African Americans, that's the Hispanic vote. She's good with both of them. She may not be able to generate an African American increase in turnout like Barack Obama, but the Clintons were well loved in that community. And then the third community is single parent mothers. Mm. Usually women and vote heavily Democratic when they vote, but they don't vote very well.
But she would resonate with those three.
Absolutely.
Groups,
she would turn that group specifically out. Mm. And I believe because she would be the first woman president, you would have crossover vote among some Republican women, and you certainly would get a lot of independent women voting for her. I think it would be a landslide, frankly.
Wow.
Well, that perhaps your scenario could play out on some sort of level in the general election if it got that far. She's already been undermined within her own party. The president certainly is no fan of hers. And even Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is the chairman of the DNC, actually made the statement the other day that there could be some possibility Mrs. Clinton decides not to run. And if so, they have Joe Biden. Wow, well, that's a good alternative.
No, there's other people in the party that would
sure. Elizabeth Warren, very, very left. Martin Malloy, very, very left. There really is a dearth within the center of the Democrat Party.
Look, it's going to be Hillary Clinton, Bill. It's going to be Hillary Clinton, and she's going to be our next president. I'm very confident of that.
Is she popular with rank and file Democrats?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, after she went through a lot in the primary seasons in 08 against Barack Obama, she had she had a very solid constituency, very close race there. And on top of that, the way she went through that process with class and then became Secretary of State for Barack Obama, she's beloved among everybody in the party now. And frankly, I do believe that Barack Obama has gotten very close to the Clintons during his presidency. And I also believe that he's going to make sure his organization that he built up, it becomes her organization when she runs.
Well, besides the fact that you're wrong about that, and he's already informed the Democrat Party that he doesn't plan on turning over his apparatus to the Democratic Party.
Not to the Democratic Party, to Hillary
Clinton. Why don't you give me the top three accomplishments that Hillary Clinton has made during her public life? Three.
Well, I think a biggie was repairing our reputation in the world after what happened during the Bush years.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
I think
so that's
that
number
was
one.
Huge.
What are the next two?
By far, in a way, the most important
next
thing.
Next two.
Well, you know, Well, she's a woman who tried to solve our healthcare situation when she was under a president.
Back in the 90s.
And it got shot down eventually, obviously.
So you're saying she's kind of a pioneer in the health.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a failure.
Well, I wouldn't call it a failure. And, you know, sometimes you
and if
move,
America has if, yeah, become so beloved.
It, sometimes when you can't get something passed, you've at least moved the ball in terms of the discussion. And I also think that, you know, her experience – In the time she was in the White House with her husband, the time she was a U.S. senator, and in the time she was
what was the one bill that she sponsored that was landmark?
Paul can think about that for the next time.
Tell us in 2 weeks.
All right, in two weeks. We're going to go. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they're on Facebook, too. We strongly suggest if you're looking for any kind of need some framing done or check out the mirrors in the bathroom, Moe will come out, do all the measuring. Thank you, Moe, for support of the Monday Political Face-Off. Back after this.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The head of the IRS, Commissioner John Koskinen, is returning to Capitol Hill later today, facing skeptical lawmakers with questions about those lost emails connected to the Tea Party targeting scandal. President Obama says that many American women can't even get a paid day off to give birth. He says that it's something the country isn't handling very well, speaking today at a Working Family Summit at the White House. Secretary of State Kerry says it's not up to the U.S. or any other country to try to pick new leadership for Iraq. Kerry, after meeting with Iraqi leaders today in Baghdad, said that it's a decision for the Iraqi people to make. The attorney charged representing the man charged with killing one student, wounding two others at a Seattle university, says she may pursue an insanity defense for her client. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life, not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac, business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on this Monday afternoon in Tucson. Scott Smith, mayor of Mesa. He's also the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Of course, Mayor Smith, one of seven Republican candidates vying to get out of the primary and advance to the general election in November. Mayor Smith, how are you today?
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for being with us. You know, I was looking at that piece that was in the Phoenix Business Journal, Can Scott Smith Get Out of the Republican Primary for Governor? And I wonder how you will answer that question. Can you get out of the primary?
Oh, if I didn't have, if I didn't think I could, I wouldn't be here. I'm not running to make a statement or to just be one of the participants. I run because I believe we have a message that's unique, and it's one that it'll appeal to a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans, especially common sense Republicans, and it's one that is a winning message because I think it builds a better Arizona. It's just that simple.
Mayor, what is the message?
Well, the message is you mentioned as a mayor and as someone who's been in now leading a major government, Mesa, city of Mesa is, the 38th largest city in the country, third largest in Arizona, building upon a 30-year business experience where I was a CEO of a company. I have a unique experience and a unique background that I think lends itself to solving problems. As a mayor, you don't get caught up a lot in the ideological battles as much as you get caught up in applying a very firm philosophy towards solving problems. You reach out, you bring people together. At the end of the day, you got to pick up the garbage on Thursday. And I've taken that same approach in business that I built on when I was governing as mayor, and I think that that's needed at the state level too.
There are an astounding number of Republicans, the polling shows, who have not made up their mind. I think it's pretty much 50%. Are you surprised by that or no?
I'm not surprised because there's no one person who jumps out. And I think Arizonans are looking at this field and they're trying to figure out who can take us to the next level, who can now lead us out of this recession and build upon what Governor Brewer, the foundation she's laid, and also the where we are, that people aren't looking back. They're not looking to scream loudly, but they're looking to solve real problems, and they're willing to be honest and say, listen, here's where we are. There's some things we do well. There's some things we really need to improve in. Let's concentrate on coming together to build upon the things that that we do well and to solve the problems that we have. I think that's the kind of discussion that Arizonans want. They're just trying to figure out who in this Republican field is going to be able to give them that assurance that they can build a better Arizona for their kids' future. And since none of us are really that well known throughout the state, it's going to take time for that message to get out and for people to make up their minds.
Scott Smith is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is one of seven in that field, that GOP field for governor. Three of the seven have talked about eliminating the state income tax. You are not in that camp, I assume.
I'm not. You know, that's great. That's great campaign rhetoric. And until you ask the follow-up question, which is, okay, what? What are you going to do? And we talked about solving problems. Listen, I'm a low-tax guy. I was a CPA for many years, and I spent my life trying to help people to pay low taxes. And as a mayor of Mesa, I shunned attempts to put in temporary sales taxes and other things. So I believe that taxes need to be low. But we've got to be realistic. I also believe that government has to provide effective services, and that we have to have strong schools and we have to have strong government. And I just don't think it's responsible to throw out campaign promises that frankly, based on the fact that we do not have the broad-based tax system that other states do, we don't have a state property tax, income tax make up 40%, that we're not going to be able to solve that problem, solve our long-term problems by simply saying we're going to eliminate 40% of our tax base and not give a credible reason as to how we're going to make that up. I would look at the entire tax system and look to get as low and fair and competitive as we possibly can, because I think hardworking Arizona taxpayers deserve the right to know that they're getting value for their money. They're getting value for what they invest in their government, and that's what I would focus on.
There have been a couple of forums where all of the candidates were on the same stage. Do you think that jobs are emerging as what Arizonans care most about?
It seems to be that's what we're all talking about, because I think that's a problem and a question that all Arizonans have. You know, we took it in the shorts in this recession, much more than most places in this country did because of the housing bust. And we haven't recovered like others have. We've only regained half of the jobs that we lost. California, for heaven's sakes, has regained the jobs they lost in the recession. But to make matters worse, the jobs that we have recovered have, for the most part, not been the high-quality jobs that were lost. They've been, in many cases, minimum-wage jobs. So we're not recovering jobs, number one, and the jobs we are recovering are not the high-quality jobs that we need to build a long-term future. And so jobs is my top priority. Along with that, and you really can't separate the two, is education, because unless you have an excellent education system, you will never attract the kind of investment that will create high-quality jobs. Public safety, you know, we have the situation on the border. People want to know they're safe. And then I think we really need to look hard, and part one of my four pillars is infrastructure investment. I drive all the time between Mesa and Tucson down I-10, and I'll tell you, every time I drive down there, I say, why can't we invest enough so that we have a clear commercial channel of a road that's safe? And that's just I-10. You talk about roads in southern Arizona, I-189A from the border. How can we increase the commercial and the free trade out of Mexico so we can both secure the border and create those great jobs? So all those come together. It all boils down to jobs, and all those issues are interrelated.
You know, it is amazing. You drive that corridor between Phoenix and Tucson, and you really wonder, the people talking about we must increase business with Mexico. Well, not only they see a road that's in terrible condition, but tourists must wonder, too, what is going on in this state?
You know, and the thing is it's a big tease, because you go to the areas where it's been improved and widened to three lanes on each side, and it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you get forced down to that bottleneck for two lanes for several miles, and you know, it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel like it's worthy of the two great metro areas we have, and it's not. And to me, that kind of long-term investment to create long-term economic prosperity, it has to be up there at the top of our list, along with education and public safety, because those are the things that create the great foundation to build a long-lasting, sustainable, and growing economy that'll not only help us today, but help our kids and our grandkids.
Scott Smith is with us. He is the mayor of Mesa. He is the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. He's also a Republican candidate running for governor. As far as Common Core education, would you back that?
I have backed Arizona College and Career Ready Standards. And the reason I say that is because as I go around the state, there's no doubt that the debate over Common Core has gotten very, very emotional. And I have people explain to me what their belief of Common Core is. And I was at a forum the other night, and I asked a woman, and she got a little upset at me. She said, well, tell me She said, answer my question. I said, listen, explain to me what your understanding of Common Core is. And she explained to me very honestly. She said, Common Core is a federal takeover of the education system. It's the federal government demanding that states adopt their system and their curriculum, and they force us to do it. And I said, ma'am, in no uncertain terms am I opposed to that system. I would never support a federal takeover. My father was superintendent of schools for over 30 years. He would never support it. As a matter of fact, he was superintendent of Flowing Wells. That's why how I grew up in Tucson. And I would never support that. I believe that local control is paramount. I do believe in high standards, and I believe we need to raise the bar. And I want those standards to be consistent. And to me, Arizona College and Career Ready Standards accomplishes that. I'm very leery of how it is implemented, and I would, as governor, I would look very closely to make sure that we are giving our local districts and our teachers in the classroom the flexibility to adopt and adapt curriculum to the unique needs of each student, because that's what's most important. And if we're not doing that, then as governor, I will step in and make sure that that's what happens.
Where can people find out more about Scott Smith and the campaign?
They can go to VoteScottSmith.com, VoteScottSmith.com. That's it. Right up there on the web. It has our new business plan for building a better Arizona, which everyone throws out a plan. I think the difference between my plan and others is my plan is based on real-world experience. It's based on what I did in business, but also what we were able to accomplish in government at the city of Mesa and some of the great strides we were able to take there, including bringing in Apple with a $2 billion investment, bringing in colleges and universities, expanding our employment base, and taking the things we've learned in real-world, putting them in a plan. And they can read that plan at VoteScottSmith.com.
Mayor Smith, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thanks a lot. Scott Smith, Mayor of Mesa, candidate for a governor on the Republican side of the ledger. We'll be right back. Ted Vogt is with us. We're going to talk about the State Veterans Affairs Services. Ted Vogt, he is the director of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services. That is next on the Monday edition of Buckmaster.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Yeah, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City and Grant County. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson, upcoming their big signature event. Cool off in the nice cool mountain air, a mile high elevation of the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival. It's the weekend of August 1st. If you love pottery and anything to do with pottery, check out the Clay Festival. Check out southwestnewmexico.org, the full listing of great things to do and places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn and Burro Mountain Homestead RV Park. You can find out again more at southwestnewmexico.org. Before we speak with Ted Vogt, who is the director of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services, story that just moved on StarNet, the Arizona Daily Star website, that State Senator Al Melvin is dropping out of the race for governor, conceding he doesn't have enough $5 donations to qualify for clean election funding. So now there are six candidates for governor. We plan to have Senator Melvin here on the Buckmaster Show with us on Wednesday. Let's welcome now Ted Vogt, the director of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services. Ted, how are you?
Bill, it's great to be here, and it's great to be back down in Tucson, doing very well, and I really appreciate you bringing me on the show. I know there's been a lot of news about the VA, and even in the best of times, people confuse the Department of Veterans Services, the Arizona Department of Veterans Services, with the VA, so I appreciate you bringing me on to kind of clarify some of that.
How much of that are you hearing every day on the job, that people are confusing the state with, you're not a federal employee?
Correct. Yeah. The Arizona Department of Veterans Services actually has its genesis back to 1925. So it's been around and really
post-World War One.
Correct. Every state has a Department of Veterans Services or Veterans Affairs. And really what we stand there to do is be an advocate for the veterans in that state. Arizona's got about 532,000 veterans, and we're really there to help veterans get connected with their benefits that do come from the federal VA. So most veterans here in Arizona will probably interact with the Department of Veterans Services through one of our veterans benefits counselors. We've got one, at least one in every county. We do a lot of outreach, and it's really to help those veterans get connected with those benefits.
You're working with the University of Arizona, too, and the state universities with the veterans there as well.
Correct. We've really been trying to help put in place those programs that are going to help welcome back our veterans. You know, America's longest war is coming to an end in December. And the Defense Department estimates that from the closing down of Afghanistan for the next 5 years, we can expect about 1.5 million veterans to, I guess, join the ranks. They're leaving active duty. They're leaving the reserves. They're leaving the National Guard. They're going to join the civilian world. And we need to do some things to make sure that they are welcomed back and they get the support and services they need. Of course, universities are going to be a major one, our community colleges. Back in 2011, the Arizona legislature created the Veteran Supportive Campus Initiative, passed. My department oversees that. All three public universities are members of that, and we're starting to get some of the community colleges to put in place those things to be certified as a veteran supportive campus.
So a veteran who comes back to Arizona can and should your department be really the first call?
Absolutely. A matter of fact,
the gatekeeper, perhaps the door
begins with you guys.
Absolutely.
And that door is going to be open.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we had to go out when the federal government shut down. We went out and, you know, wanted to let folks know, hey, your State Department of Veterans Services is open. Don't delay if you want to learn about your benefits and start the process. All the services we provide are free of charge. You know, that we're a department of the state of Arizona. So your tax dollars pay for that. So, whether it's trying to understand what sort of benefits you can get, understanding the GI Bill, or we do have two long-term skilled nursing centers, one in Phoenix, one here in Tucson, learning about that, veterans should contact our department. Matter of fact, the Tucson office is up in Swan and Pima.
Okay.
And it's the regional office for Southern Arizona. We've got great benefits counselors up there to help veterans and their family members understand what they're entitled to through their service.
And it's difficult, I know, because of the really bad publicity mm-hmm. about the federal VA, and a lot of it began at the federal center in mm-hmm. Phoenix.
Correct.
Where, of course, you're based in Phoenix.
Absolutely.
So in some ways, people don't really, they don't understand, I think, where you come in.
Correct. Yeah. And that's one of the things we've been working with. I mean, even predating the issues at the federal mm-hmm. VA hospitals, there have been concerns over the backlog of claims.
Yeah, the wait time.
Absolutely. So what, you know, you've got two choices in that. You either stand outside and throw stones at the organization, or you decide to help the organization. And that's really the way the State Department of Veterans Services has stepped up to help wherever we can to reduce the backlog as quickly as possible, become more mobile so we can get out and reach veterans who may be homebound, who may be in the more rural parts of the state, to, again, get them access to their benefits. And we have a very close working relationship with our federal delegation. And when some of these issues have come up, we've gotten them in touch with either their member of Congress or their senators, not because we're trying to shift it off, but because they're the ones who can more quickly address those issues that implicate the federal government.
Let's go to Al, and I believe Al is a veteran, and he wanted to ask you a question. I think he has been turned down for benefits, and he wants to know why. Al, go ahead. You're with Ted Vogt, who is the director of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services. Go ahead, Al.
Thank you, Bill. Good to be on your show.
And, thank you.
Mr. Bosa, here's the question that I have. I served during Vietnam. And a couple of years ago, when I moved here from Dallas, I went to the VA and I wanted to register to be on the database for the VA hospital in the event that something happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have insurance through my employer, but of course I'm getting up in age.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned me down. And when I inquired as to why they turned me down, they said that I made too much money.
Hmm.
Well, my argument was, I don't want the benefits now. I just want to be in the database. So if and when I do need you, I don't have that 2 or 3 or 4 month waiting period as most people have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Al, I'm going to have to...
Any idea what I can do in something like that?
Yeah, okay. Al, what I would do is I recommend everybody go see one of the state veterans benefits counselors. As I stated earlier, our office is located at Pima and Swan. Go in there, explain the situation. There's a lot of federal regulation that gets into benefits. You know, there's issues with TRICARE for life if you have that. So there are a lot of regulations there that they can help explain and help try to work the problem if there is one.
And I think Al illustrates really what we've been talking about here, that the questions people have can be, it may not be the satisfactory answer that you want, but at least it will be explained to you, and you'll do everything you can to
absolutely
solve the issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the website as well, folks.
Yeah, the website is AZDVS, AZ is in Arizona, Department of Veterans Services, .gov.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find out the information. You can also find the office locations throughout the state. Again, we've put our offices around around the state so that no veteran is more than an hour's drive away. And we do a lot of outreach as well. So by all means, check out the website or stop in one of our offices.
And you say there are two hospitals you operate? Or homes?
Long-term skilled nursing centers. Yes. We've got a state veterans home in Phoenix, one in Tucson. And a matter of fact, this last legislature, the governor asked for and the legislature gave money to establish a new one in Yuma. So we are in the process of completing that. That will be a joint venture with the federal VA.
How about veterans cemeteries? Are you involved at all with that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've got one state veteran cemetery, which we run down in Sierra Vista, and we were going to begin construction on two new ones, one in Marana and one in Flagstaff at Camp Navajo, that will begin this fall with the opening date we project around early 2016.
Ted Vogt, thank you very much for coming in and giving us an update. And again, the website is?
azdvs.gov.
Okay, and there'll be all the contact information there and the locations for the offices. And I know when you came on board, is it 6 months or how long you've been on?
I'm almost a year. July 1st. July 1st is the first year.
You wanted to upgrade the website. Yep. And you've been working to do
Absolutely.
That. It's looking better. Great. Ted Vogt, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. And on a hot day like this, we really thank you, Culligan. Extra thanks to you. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, then the Daily Double with Christy Simone. We have a new local talk show from 4 to 5. Mike Shaw is the host of 4 Tucson at 4. Then at 12:04 tomorrow, producer Rosemary Brandt spinning the dials and me behind the microphone. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.